A strong outlook as corporate earnings season begins, but where is all that money coming from?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open. A look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll find out what's driving corporate profits as earnings season gets going. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up right now. The Dow's up 33 points at 12,413. The Nasdaq up about 0.2%, and same with the S&P 500. The board of the New York Stock Exchange has rejected an $11.3 billion takeover offer from Nasdaq and Intercontinental Exchange. The NYSE says it prefers the $9.7 billion offer from the German Stock Exchange. The fight now heads to NYSE shareholders. Now let's get to the beginning of corporate earnings season. Aluminum maker Alcoa kicks off the season later today with its quarterly report. Julia Coronado is chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas, and she's with us live now from New York, as she is every Monday. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, how are rising prices that we're seeing in things like oil and food and raw materials going to impact companies' bottom lines this quarter?
Well, we're going to see different impacts depending on the company. So for a company like Alcoa that you mentioned, they actually produce commodities. They're an aluminum producer, right. So they're benefiting from the higher prices. So companies, agricultural and energy companies, are really going to benefit from the higher prices. We're going to see very, very strong results from them. On the other hand, more retail-facing companies are going to have a harder time, and we're really going to be listening to how well they're managing passing along these higher costs or whether their margins are starting to get squeezed.
And Julia, last quarter, the big story was that most of the growth for U.S. companies was coming from overseas. Is that going to be the case again this quarter?
Yes, I think that theme is still definitely with us. We did see some better spending numbers in recent months in the U.S., but it pales in comparison to what's happening in Asia and Latin America. So companies that are more globally facing are going to do a whole lot better than those that are more reliant on the domestic market.
And taking all of that into account, how are U.S. companies doing right now, and what does it mean for ordinary Americans?
Well, the corporate sector has been doing extraordinarily well. They've really managed to regain profitability and are actually seeing record profits. Does that have pass-through to the rest of us, to the man on the street? It does. They have been the sector that's been adding jobs and investing, so there has been definitely a benefit from that strong corporate sector to the U.S. economy.
Julia Coronado, chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas, thanks so much as always.
My pleasure.
Well, the federal government is open for business this morning, thanks to a deal on Friday night to cut $38 billion from this year's federal budget. Now we can all brace for a fight over the nation's debt ceiling. We're expected to reach the legal limit on how much money the government can borrow as soon as next month. Marketplace's David Brancaccio reports.
Congressional Republicans want more curbs on federal spending before they agree to raise the federal government's official credit limit. At a meeting this weekend in Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, on the future of the financial system, former Treasury Secretary Lawrence Summers says even talk about defaulting is hazardous.
The United States not meeting its debt obligations for even a single nanosecond is like a child playing with matches in a room full of dynamite.
Currently, the law says the government cannot borrow more than $14.25 trillion. If the debt ceiling isn't raised, the resulting uncertainty could drive up interest rates for government and consumers. Every few years, negotiations over the debt ceiling get down to the wire. The Treasury Department is working on a backup plan that could delay the moment of reckoning until early July. In Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, I'm David Brancaccio for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. By Chevrolet, undertaking a carbon-reducing effort, investing in projects like wind farms and planting trees across America over the next few years. On the web at Chevy.com. And by Manta.com, providing an online destination for small businesses to be found and to find new customers. More online at Manta.com.
Believe it or not, today marks the one-month anniversary of the huge earthquake and tsunami that struck Japan. Another big aftershock marked the occasion this morning. Marketplace's Scott Tong has been traveling around the areas that were hardest hit, and he joins us now from Tokyo to talk more about the rebuilding effort. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, it sounds like there was a pretty big aftershock just today.
I was riding in the car on an elevated freeway, and suddenly the car starts doing the slalom left and right. And then after the wobbling stopped, we looked up at the light poles, and they were still wobbling as we drove by. But since everything in Japan seems designed for earthquakes, I was just assuming that the bridge was the same way. But here's the thing about what's happening in Japan. The announcer on the radio came on and said, you know, this is a 6 or a 7. And then the people in the car with me said, only a 6.
Huh.
Kind of on with the business of Japan, and you hear about that everywhere.
Now, you just got back from the place that was damaged the most by the big 9.0 quake and the resulting tsunami. Tell us what you saw there.
It's like one person described it to me before I went there. You drive down a beautiful coast, turn the corner, and there's Armageddon. Maybe 20% of the buildings in this one port city are still standing. There are commercial fishing trawlers, giant boats, dumped onto the shore like they're bath toys. But here's the good part. In the city of Sendai, half the stuff in the restaurants is already back on the menu and available. Half the convenience stores have fresh bread already. Factories that have power and are intact, they're not just making their own stuff. They're helping their suppliers or their customers to make their things so they can revive the whole industrial ecosystem. And they tell the world that manufacturing is still sound. It's still the best in the world. There are no two-headed, radiated Japanese fish swimming around. That the Japanese brand is still intact.
Marketplace's Scott Tong in Tokyo. Thanks, Scott.
You're welcome.
And you can see a slideshow of the rebuilding in Japan at marketplace.org. Finally, U.S. Airways had a nice gift for its customers last week. 1,000 frequent flyer miles automatically deposited into their accounts for no reason. Generous, aren't they? Well, until this morning, that is, when those same people got an email titled, "Oops, U.S. Airways made a mistake and won't be giving anyone any miles." Interesting business model. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Fly fishermen everywhere are facing a dilemma. The feathers used for their flies are in high demand by girls who will pay anything to have them for their hair.
They were going on eBay for $100 to $150 a piece when the suggested retail price was like $36.
I'm Bob Moon. It's a feisty feather fight. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.